Welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. My name is Roy, my call sign is AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Bob KD2NVB will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers, as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. We offer original articles and reviews on many of the topics that are covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder, and as a starting off point to this, tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club's website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange color type, but if you would like a simple URL to find it, just type into your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. And we also have an Echo Link node available for use. Just point your Echo Link application to the node kc2rc-r. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer, and Bob KD2NVB will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for any future topics of interest, please let us know either here on the TechNet, or you can contact us via email, which is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Bob, KD2NVB. Good evening, Bob.
Roy, this is Bob, KD2NVB. Looking forward to this net tonight. Hope there are some guys are out there. Back to you, Roy.
Yes, indeed. It would be real nice if there was someone out there tonight. Anyway, once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, and we're open for business. If anyone has any technical questions or wants to chat about a concept in amateur radio, then please hit that push to talk. And as I said before, give us your first name, give us your call sign, and what kind of a question or comment you have ready for us tonight.
KC2RC.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. It looks like it's another lonely Wednesday. Maybe I'm just going to have to take my social calendar and think of some other way of spending my Wednesday nights. Last technical net I had was this Sunday night, in which I had a guest speaker, a gentleman, J, N-E-2-Q, writer of many articles in QST, and all-around businessman. He, matter of fact, sold me the set of headsets that I'm using right now. And he did a presentation on an April QST antenna article that he did about taking a carbon cylinder and putting a slit in it and turning it into a directional beam from the from a vertical antenna was in the center of it, and he got himself a carbon cylinder hollowed out and put a slit in it, and he talked about how he was able to direct a 3-degree beam in any particular direction. And of course, it was all rather absurd, and it was an April Fool's joke, and most people took it very, very well. A couple people were a little annoyed, but I thought it was a perfect opportunity to give voice to state. Anyway, that was fun. Once again, I continue to be AC2GS. This continues to be the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, and we're still open for business, but if no one talks, we'll be closed for business very soon. So you got a chance out there, hit that push to talk, and ID yourself. Well, Bob, I don't know. Maybe my time would be better spent arranging some kind of pinochle game with someone rather than do this net. What do you think?
Hey, this is KD2MVP. So I missed that you're net on Sunday, but I think I heard just a little bit of it. But so I guess he published the article around April 1st, because, yeah, of course, last Sunday was a little later. It's funny. I'll have to dig up that article.
Yeah, the nature of QST is they always kind of publish it early, so it probably got delivered sometime in March, the end of March or the middle of March, because I already saw the May edition of the QST magazine, so you know that's available electronically early. So yeah, I put it on my that list page, you know, that I use, roy.ac2gs.com. I put it at the top. I was going to take it down, but I haven't had a chance to do it yet, so I left it up for a few more days. It, you know, I mean, it was an amusing article, and of course, it kind of gave itself away at the very end when the guy told everyone the name he had for the device. He called it the Lerper Sloof Antenna, which is, in if you reverse the lettering, it's April Fool's.
Good. That's funny. I didn't leave it up. Maybe just write in the parentheses April Fool joke or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned. I don't want to violate any organization's copyright. You know, the ARRL has been known to be a little anal retentive at times.
Oh, that's different. I thought your concern was that it no longer being like April 1st, that people would get pissed off reading this thing, taking it seriously until the end or something like that.
No, not at all. It's just the copyright issue, because you know, there are some times that I have I've set up aliases to redirect to web articles, and the people who own them don't seem to like that, so they block aliases. So, you know, there are people who take their copyrights more seriously than others, shall we say.
So ARRL would be concerned, even though, I mean, even though the author, I'm guessing the author doesn't care that you leave it up there, but I guess he published it in the magazine, so they own the copyright, not him, I guess.
Yeah, that's how that works. You know, they I don't know how much they pay him. You know, they pay him $50-$60, and it belongs to them.
Right, I guess it's like a lot of musicians' gripes with record companies or similar issues like that, too. Get it.
Yeah, I don't think it's such a calamity when it comes to an April Fool's antenna joke, but I mean, keep in mind that the ARRL in the past has compiled genuine antenna articles from the magazine to rather expensive books for the number of pages that are printed. I don't know if they give any extra money to the authors in case they republish them as a book or not. So that would be an interesting thing to research.
Hey, I guess you could ask the author of the April Fool's article. He would probably know.
Perhaps. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if any of his antenna articles got into the books. If so, then probably he might know. So I might ask him. Anyway, it was a fun time. Most people took it reasonably well. A couple of people got really upset. Well, one person got really upset. Another person had to demonstrate almost immediately that he was not taken in for a moment.
Why did he get upset? Just because you wasted his time or something? You got him all like gave him these false hopes or something. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah, my SpaceNet partner, Paul W.S.2N, took it as a wonderful joke. He laughed and he said that he had to cancel his order for the carbon cylinder.
Probably not really, but that's funny. Yeah, Paul, I'm sure Paul would take it fine.
Yeah, some people have a sense of humor, some people just don't. I don't know, I think it was surgically removed at birth or something. Anyway, let's try this again. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I am the net control operator for this Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, meeting on the 2nd and 4th Wednesday every month for now. And we continue to be open for business, and we stay open for as long as anyone has a question or a comment or wants it to be open. But by the exact opposite, it closes when most people yawn and walk away. So this is pretty much going to decide whether this particular episode of the net lasts last until 9:15, which is a minute from now, or, you know, 10:30. So again, it's all up to the people listening tonight. This is not a broadcast. This is an interactive net. So I need another person. So if we got another person, we got a net. If I have only myself, then we have me saying goodbye. So nevertheless, if anyone out there has a question or a comment for tonight's technical net, please hit that push to talk and ID yourselves.
Welcome to the KC2RC repeater system.
So while we're waiting tonight, Bob, did you try and get onto Discord since the last time we talked?
Actually, no, but I haven't tried. I mean, I've just been caught up in doing other things, but I will try that. I mean, you could be right. I'll just try to log on with my... it was my phone number. He already has me there. Because I kind of, earlier, kind of went through, I don't know, I got stumped. I don't remember the details of what I did, because I did it probably a year ago or something. But I will try that. But I haven't yet.
Okay, very good. We had one guy on the Echo Link, Sid, and Sid was kind enough to type into the text window 73, and he left. So we have no one on Echo Link, and for all I know, no one sitting in front of a radio. So I don't know what to tell you, Bob. Looks like we should find a better gig.
Maybe so. I'll stay here as long as you do. That guy could have gone on with FT8 if he's all he was going to do. Back to you.
Yeah, that's true, but, you know, at least he was polite. Most people actually don't use their text window. I think that's because most people, their iPhone app, I think, doesn't have a readily apparent text window. I think you have to push a button or something to make it appear. So most of the time, I think, I see people writing things down in the text window, have it running on their PCs.
Could be. Yeah, I would think. If I had a choice, I'm sitting here next to my computer. I have the app on my phone. I haven't used it in ages. But it's always easier to do that stuff on a computer with a bigger screen and a real keyboard, etc. And often the programs, like you can see what's going on a lot better. Like Zoom, for example. Back to you.
Yeah, I've kind of built up this absurd thing from the Limark technical net. You know, if you look at my QRZ page, you have an image of my computer setup during one of the technical nets. I'm looking at IRLP, I'm looking at Echo Link, I'm looking at AllStar, I'm looking at a chat room, I'm looking at, you know, 30 or odd different inputs and such.
Yeah,
I'm kind of used to all these little things in my little windows and such. I tell you, I was perusing Discord the other day, and one of the gentlemen there was wondering why it takes a couple of seconds from keying down in Echo Link to having the repeater, transmitting. So I issued a reply that you have to kind of understand what's going on. People are logging into my Echo Link server in my shack. That signal is then going to my transceiver. The transceiver is sending a signal across Brooklyn to the repeater. The repeater is receiving it and taking a little time to figure out if the PL tone is accurate before it opens up the transmitter, and then it repeats the signal. So, you know, it takes a little time.
Okay, I guess that's true whether it's text or voice, right?
You wouldn't really have text on Echo Link. How do you do text on Echo Link to the radio?
Well, the text is just, like you said before, it's just from the software to the other computer software. I guess that's different.
Yeah, that's at least one link less. So the latency error is purely between the two computers and the servers involved. It has nothing to do with RF.
Okay, got it. More stuff to go through.
Yep, more stuff to go through. Well, let's try again. I am AC2GS, and this is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We do this on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month for the time being, and we're open for business. If anyone has any questions or comments tonight for the Technical Net, please hit that push to talk and ID yourselves, and we'll take each question in turn. Well, yeah, I don't know. It looks like it's going to be an extremely slow night. And, you know, as much as I'd love to plead with people on the radio, you know, for the next hour and a half, I don't think it would be very productive. So we'll give it another 4 minutes. Nice round number, 925. If we don't get any takers from by 925, I will wish you well and find some better way of using my time.
That's good. I got 921 right now.
Hey, Roy, this is KD2VA. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Maxim. How are you?
Doing okay. I'm trying to put these monitors down. I had a question I wanted for you to muse on. So the radio that's sitting in Coney Island during the wires activity, I haven't checked it. I'm sure it's still working, but I don't think anybody's using it. There was, let's say we decided that the wires act something. What else can we do with that thing? It's already sitting there. Like, what other use?
Well, I think you have two parts to that setup. You have a proper transceiver that can be used as a transceiver. You could, if you were so inclined, we could hook up something to All-Star so that we could have an All-Star node in addition to an Echolink node. The problem with something like that is All-Star is not quite as cheap as Echolink. Echolink costs approximately $0.00. My All-Star node costs a significant amount larger than that. But I mean, theoretically, if you wanted to branch out and have an All-Star node, that would be a possibility.
Actually, sorry, I might have confused things. I don't mean the Echolink node that you have sitting around. I meant the radio that's sitting during the transacting. But what's All-Star and how much does it cost?
Okay, that's what I was alluding to, the WireZX setup. The WireZX setup that you have most likely something like an HR200, because I remember when Mitch really, really wanted us to buy it, and I said, okay, Mitch, and so we got it, and a radio, and the radio is plugged into the HR200. All-Star nodes, it depends. There are cheaper and more expensive ones, but I think they start at something like $150 or $200, and they go up. So that's, you know, I mean, All-Star is kind of like Echolink in many ways, except, like I said, it's expensive. And it's kind of a slightly better engineered, perhaps, maybe because that there's money behind it and such. And, you know, there are people who have their repeaters connected to All-Star. Most people don't. There are people who have their repeaters connected to IRL, which are designed to link other repeaters, whereas All-Star is more like Echolink in that it usually links people together, and it also links repeaters to individuals. So there is, I think the PAPA West Coast antenna TechNet, one of the many ways you can get into it is through an All-Star node. So, you know, there are some people that use that.
This is the KC2RC repeater. Please use PL88.5.
So All-Star is kind of like Echolink, so just another, you put an app on your PC or phone, and using All-Star you can communicate to the repeater. So what's the difference in that?
It's just another technology. It works with a little bit more finesse, but unfortunately, it's expensive all around. Not only do you need an appliance to connect a radio to, you need an appliance to connect to it yourself. So, Limark has an All-Star node. It's because the end of Brooklyn by Coney Island is about as far away from their antenna as possible. I can't rely on an RF connection. So on my Limark TechNet, I log on through All-Star. But I need an All-Star node to do it. So there's no app anyplace. You have to actually buy another All-Star node yourself. Only All-Star nodes can connect to other All-Star nodes. You know, it's not incredibly popular, although the guys tend to be rather enthusiastic and a little bit cultish at times. But, you know, it has a little bit less, I think, of the latency problems and the blocking, you know, return replies that Echolink has at times with quick keyers and such.
That's interesting. So is All-Star kind of like, I guess I'm confusing a little bit things, but like there's that software for Raspberry Pi install something planet. that. And then you can, that software, you can have your radio communicate with that, with the Raspberry Pi, with a special cat, and then that can do VMware and other things, or is it something else?
I'm not 100% sure if someone has worked on a Raspberry Pi and software that runs on Linux. My particular All-Star node is a kind of a proprietary device. You know, the guy builds the hardware. I'm sure there must be something like a Raspberry Pi in its guts, but I don't know if there are open source ways of kind of doing it yourself completely. You probably would have to buy a bit of a kit and put it together and, you know, load in some stuff and configure it. So yeah, it's sort of like a alternative version of these gateways and things like, you know, OpenSpot and Raspberry Pi things with different electronics. I haven't really looked around that much lately. I bought my node 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, got it. So that's one option. So that's one option to do an alternate node. Anything else that comes in? Is there a way to connect? Like, we have a wireless X room. Can we connect to something a little bit bigger, like a DMR, like a neural network?
Well, it's not virtually impossible. It's just rather difficult. What you're thinking of doing is what Joe wanted to do with his FusionNet. And he wanted us to buy some dongles, and he wanted us to invest in equipment. And I don't think that I don't think anyone in our club had the expertise. You have to be a bit of a Linux master. He found this guy down south, When I talked to this guy, I said, is there any place I could look on the internet? Because I'm curious. And he kind of said, no, you just have to cobble it together yourself. So although there are a lot of places that have built jury-rigged accesses for gateways, it requires still a significant amount of expertise. There's no kind of, as far as I'm aware, still no how to do a thing on an internet page anyplace.
Got it. Okay, well, I'll noodle on that some more. I'm just thinking that, yeah, we have a wireless gateway that if somebody's using it, the voice portion is not going to work. Oh, and on top of that, nothing really, you know, there's better use of that equipment that's running. Yeah, if you come up with any other ideas, let me know.
Okay, if you want to further go down this rabbit hole, it would be a good use for that Ambi dongle that I think Mitch gave you, because you would need that in order to build the Linux box interface to hook into, you know, Brandmeister talking group or something like that.
Got it. By the way, there's no benefit to having two Echo Link nodes or a repeater, is there?
Not particularly, unless you want an extra just in case the primary goes out. But you'd probably want to not put it on autopilot. You'd probably want to, you know, manually switch over if the first one fails, because otherwise it would probably be a real annoying thing to have two Echo Link nodes switched in simultaneously battling for command.
Got it. That's a good point. Yep, okay, that makes sense. That would, then they'll kind of flash. All right, I'll keep thinking about it. I like the digital connectivity portion, but what I don't like right now is that we have a room kind of far cooler hidden the repeater over analog, and then whatever that is coming to the radio as analog, converting voice to a digital room, so we can work. Although, I don't know, there's something to think about. I don't think I'll mess with that anyway.
Yeah, AC2GS, by the way. You got to understand, Yaesu did all this because they want to promote their proprietary digital modes. They don't want to promote FM. That's why the repeater itself doesn't even give you our call sign. We needed a controller to do very, very primitive repeater functions. Of course, if you operate solely in digital, you don't need that feature, which is why they didn't bother to build it in. And theoretically, you should be able to push analog signals back and forth from their servers, but when we initially attempted to do that repeatedly, it would lock up the repeater, and we had to reboot it over and over and over and over again before we just gave up. So, for all intent purposes, I doubt that they changed it. I doubt that they fix it. I don't think they want to fix it. So, we do have that with our Echo Link, and most of the time, I hope it's up and operational and of use in that way. Not necessarily need for reinventing the wheel again.
By the way, Roy, I've got a curiosity. How does one reboot our repeater?
Well, theoretically, the last time I was up there, Mitch put up a secondary control radio with a Yagi that I joked with him because when they were putting in the Yagi, someone didn't tighten things and the Yagi was pointed straight down at the ground. And I made a joke that he didn't like. Something along the lines of, if you don't like it, do it yourself type of stuff. But theoretically, we had a radio. The radio was connected to a Yagi that was pointed at his house. And using dual tones, you could send commands to the controller, one of which would be to reboot the repeater.
KC2RC.
And I love that the repeater is talked about whenever we talk about it. So theoretically means that in reality, we don't know the second radio is on working, like rebooting it. Who knows what those two tones are? Like, does anybody actually have an idea?
Well, what can I tell you? Mitch knows.
Well, okay. Also, KC2VA. All right, that's the case. That was interesting. I don't think about it. Maybe a summer project.
I kind of suspect that the remote control access is not working because a couple of years ago, if you recall, the repeater kind of had some kind of feedback problem and it just locked up and it started to transmit for days. And rather than sending a reboot signal, we had to get some people to climb up there and turn it off and turn it on.
Yeah, I figured. Well, maybe Joe and I will get up there one day. You know, probably should email him and have him do it. I'm just getting warmer.
Okay. Someone asked me if they could come with you. I believe it was John, KD2LUC, one of the 10-meter nets. He kind of, as an aside, said that he would be very interested in seeing the repeater, if possible, when you decide to go down there, if you could let them know, so give them an opportunity.
Okay, yeah. There's a couple of guys, I think one of them is like a whole list of people in the repeater group, but yeah, I just need Joe to come up with a kind of inbound to the other one. He could go, I couldn't, because I can't go there by myself. I don't know what to do or where to go. All right, if anyone else there, you running.
Okay, very good. Once again, I continue to be AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I am the net control operator for this, the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We meet on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. and we go for as long as people are interested in asking questions or discussing topics of a technical nature. And so, as I said, we're still open for business, and if anyone out there has any questions or topics they would like to discuss, we got time if you got the questions. Well, I guess this is about as long as we're going to go tonight because, I don't really see anything happening past this point. We'll give it another minute or two. If we just get kind of background noise and crickets and such, we'll just call it a net. So once again, I'm AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, and we continue to be open for business for the time being. Anyone out there hears us and has any kind of question of a technical nature, how do antennas work, what's a capacitive hat, all kinds of things. We had this, I was talking earlier on this net about my other technical net that I have Sunday night, where we had a gentleman, JN2NE2Q, a businessman and writer of articles for QSD, and he wrote a very weird article about a vertical beam, where he took a quarter wave vertical and encircled it in a carbon fiber tube with a slit in the side of it, and he said that he got a 3-degree a pattern, radiation pattern. So he had a sharp directional antenna out of a vertical. Of course, that's complete and utter nonsense, which made sense because it was an April Fool's article. So that was a fun little net this last Sunday. Anyway, once again, I'm AC2GS, and for the time being, we're open for business. If anyone has any questions or comments or such, please hit that push to talk. Once again, this continues to be AC2GS. And what can I tell you guys? Going, going, and gone. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each month. Our next meeting will be May 7th, which will be a hybrid meeting and a virtual meeting using Zoom software and in person. Our club members will be emailed with the details of the meeting. The physical location of the in-person meeting is the Knights of Columbus at 1511 10th Avenue. Non-members wishing to join a general club meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link. Although our meetings informally begin after 7 p.m., our formal general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until anywhere from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net on every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 9 p.m. We also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on or about 28.380 upper sideband. We offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the internet, as well as our 10-meter net at stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. It's time to roll this all up and shut it down, but we'll be back May 14th to do it all over again, and you're all welcome to join us. Thanks to all the people that participated tonight. Bob KD2NVB. Without you guys, I would just be talking to myself. So, this is Roy AC2GS going clear and getting the heck out of here. Until next time, 73.
KD2NVB signing off. 73. Better luck next time. Well, we have a little bit of activity. Next time. See you then. Check it out. 73.